This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
The Province Sports Podcast. PacCast is back after a one-week absence. Jason Botchford is going to join us from Tampa in a moment. But before that, we have to tell you that our good friends at Eagle Ridge GM and Coquitlam are back on board here for another week with the PacCast. Proud sponsors of the BCHL's Coquitlam Express, your number one overall pick for selection and inventory. Check them out weekdays or weekends. Whatever fits your schedule will fit their schedule too. They're in Coquitlam, two blocks west of Coquitlam Center, 2595 Barnett Highway, or visit them online, eagleridgegm.com. We get to Tampa, Florida. That's where we find Jason Botchford. Botch, how much did you miss me?
Well, the podcast was missed. Like, I feel like we could do like three right now, back to back to back. There's been that much to talk about. It felt like months since we've been together talking about the team. That much has happened since, and then plus we have a front office here with Vancouver that may be breaking records for the number of times one of them is quoted. In wherever it is, radio, newspaper, online columns, like it is there are more comments from Jim and Trevor these days than there are, what, coffee shops in Vancouver, you name it, man. It's almost overwhelming.
Well, and we'll get to that, and there's so much to chew on that I want to get to that, but let's start with the news of last night. You were there in Newark at the Prudential Center. Nobody ever likes to see the stretcher come out onto the field of play or onto the ice. I mean, there was a little bit of feeling in that game, but still, I would imagine the air just gets sucked out of the building when you see a hit like that, Taylor Hall on Philip Larson. Botch, I'm amazed. I'm shocked that he was given medical clearance to fly. He's on his way back to Vancouver. I take that all as, you know, a good indication that the man's alive at the very least, because for a few moments there, I didn't know what to think when I saw Philip Larson flat on his back and everybody piling on top of him the way that they did.
Yeah, apparently he's saying that he's had worse concussions, so I don't know how bad that must have been, but by all accounts, he's. I mean, that's super encouraging that he's been able, you know, to fly, and he's going home, and all, and he was talking before he left even the ice last night. It was one of the scarier things I think that some of the players have seen, that I've seen, to see him motionless on the ice for that amount of time. Was pretty stunning, and you know, it was just hard. Like, it just didn't matter. Like, the score didn't matter, and I just didn't. You know, you could just feel it. You could just, certainly from a Vancouver perspective, it no longer mattered. And they even talked about after the game that it was hard for them to focus and all of those things. And before you knew it, was 3-1. I don't think it was a game the Canucks were going to win anyway. They weren't good from the start. I know that the turning point will be seen as the Larson hit. But that was a game they didn't show up in.
So we'll hope for the best for Philip Larson. This isn't about what he has or hasn't done on the ice for the Vancouver Canucks. This is a guy that, you know, you just want to make sure that he's healthy, and we'll see if he gets back in the lineup. But one man's injury is another's opportunity. Botch, it's Bulldog time.
You want to say it?
It's Bulldog time.
That's right. It's Bulldog time. Yeah, he's stoked. He was. We were having a scrum with him, just me and Abbott and Biega, and Abbott said, "You know, we're setting up this question about how many minutes do you think he can play?" And I couldn't even help myself. Like, I jumped in for Biega, and I said, "All of them." And you know, that he's been itching. The Bulldog has been itching to get into the lineup. People have been itching to write the Bulldog. I'm sure there will be multiple references coming up over the next couple of days. I refuse to use that in print or online, but I'm sure there are others who have been just champing at the bit to get that out there. He's back, and just, you know, you're right about Larson. Like, he's been game, and he's been trying to make it and all of that. The NHL just may not be his thing, right? Like, I mean, he just looks to me like a guy so far this year that it's just the speed of the game, just everything about the game, just one level beyond what probably he's capable of, And I'm not sure if Biega makes them any better. He says he's been working. What do all defensive defensemen say, Jay Pat? What have they all been working on in their time off? Their offense. So he's ready to walk the line and produce some offense, he says.
Well, he's only 7 points out of the team lead for scoring among defensemen. So the other thing is, okay, Tanev's out. Edler's out. Larson's out. You know, like, they're one more guy away from a call to the farm. Maybe they make the farm. Like, is Jordan Subban's phone on standby?
Man, I don't even think it's going to be Subban. He was healthy scratch just last game. So, you know, and I don't know, man. I think that they're going to probably have to bring someone up. They had hoped that Tanev would be back on this trip. It looks like he's not. I don't think he's going to be back. I don't think Tanev's back on this trip. And I think Hansen is going to play soon, but not Tanev. So, I do think that they're going to dip into the reserves here, and someone's going to get called up, and it's not going to be Subban, probably Pedan.
All right. Well, I wouldn't mind seeing Andre Pedan, but we'll see where that one goes. But enough about the on-ice stuff, because the Canucks don't make a lot of noise on the ice right now, Botch, but my goodness. And yes, I was out of the country last week, but I wasn't on another planet. I was following along. I was online. And it started with the long sit-down question and answer with Sportsnet's website, Trevor Linden. Now I see TSN's talk to Linden. Elliot Friedman on Hockey Night was, and in his 30 Thoughts, was talking to Trevor Linden. And then the quotes that you had from Jim Benning in the Provies last night, like, absolutely stopped me in my tracks. We're 12 hours later. I'm still trying to digest them. I don't know what to make of those comments.
Look, I'm not one for conspiracy theories. Oh, wait, who am I kidding? I love them. And there is something, like, super odd going on right now around the organization. And I think through all of these comments that there's a certain theme, like there's a certain pattern here. You can thread them all together with this concept of, like, We're not changing this group. Like, this is the group. We're going with these guys. What you see is what you get. Kind of, you know, we're not stripping it down. We're not doing the rebuild. They're doubling down on, they seem to be doubling down on all those ideals. And even the way, like, people say, like, well, Jim shouldn't have, when we were talking about the no trade clauses and his comments about he's not going to go up to any of his vets and ask them to waive when he's done that all the time. Like, he did it with Garrison. He did it with Hamhuis. He did it with Bieksa. So why is he not doing it now? And people say, well, he shouldn't have answered your question that way. I didn't ask him a question. He brought it up. It was his idea. He wanted to get that out there. He wanted everyone to know that they will not be basically saying that they will not be trading any of these guys, because none of those guys are going to go up to Jim and say, we want out. It's just not going to happen with this group. So they're not getting traded. I mean, they're just not. And then in yet another interview that Linden had with TSN and Frank Cervelli, who I think had a story with Linden yesterday, he's got another one today. Like, it's just open. Like, I think fans should start calling Linden and interviewing him. But I read today that Trevor's saying not only are the veterans not going to, no one's getting traded. Don't expect any trades. They're not happening.
Okay.
Conspiracy theory, as the story goes, it wasn't that long ago when there was a story I heard in the league where the Canucks were pretty close on a particular trade, and then at the last minute said, we can't do it. We're not doing it. We're not doing it. And then people wondered, like, what's happening here? Did ownership step in? Because it's not a crazy idea. Like, at the end of the Gillis regime, Mike was not allowed to make moves. He had a deal, Kessler to Pittsburgh, and it was nixed by ownership. They said, no, you're not making that deal. Not going to happen. And so anytime I hear, like, we're not making any trades, and then I hear, like, this deal happened, like, my ears start to perk up a bit. I'm wondering, what is going on? Because this is just not normal. It was 3 weeks ago when you were having an interview with Jim where he said, like, yeah, man, we want a forward, we want a scoring forward, and we're really willing to trade D to get it. Like, how do things change that dramatically in a few weeks? I don't get it.
Well, and I just want to back this up because I think this is a huge point in all of this that, you know, maybe the fans don't fully understand the way the inner workings of the media go, but I'm fascinated, and I think you kind of answered the question, but I want you to elaborate. So he offered this up. This wasn't in response to any particular question you asked him about the trade deadline. This was Jim Benning sort of on his own going rogue a little bit to get the message out there?
Well, I don't know if he was going rogue, but he just had an agenda. He wanted that out there. He wanted to be known for whatever reasons, whether it's for the agents, whether it's for his team, whether it's for his team to know that, you know, I think people have been doing stories about Burroughs and is, you know, going to a contender and stuff. Whatever the reasons, yeah, I was asking about Dorsett. He brought it up. He definitely wanted it out there, and he wanted it known.
So, like, I don't get it, because again, when I read it last night, I thought, this is nuts, because we saw what happened last year at the trade deadline, and I know you were one of the guys that thought, if we rolled the clock back 12 months, like, that's when the groundwork should have been laid for a guy like Radim Verbata to start the slide to move him out of town, and Ham Hughes as well. And ultimately, we know what happened at the trade deadline. I mean, what's the fans' takeaway? There was obviously a clamoring here for this group to, and you know, you were there in Buffalo with me. We did the podcast from Buffalo.
Right.
You know, Jim Benning looked at us both and said, I can't wait for one of these drafts one of these years when I have all of my picks.
Right.
So, again, this guy that's lauded as a draft guru, like, why wouldn't he want more tickets in the lottery?
Well, I think that's a complicated question right now. I don't think that there's an easy answer to it. I think that if you take it at face value, they believe in the group. They want the team to compete for a playoff spot, or what's the goal? Like, compete? Like,
March
not,
now.
Not necessarily get a playoff spot, but be in position where you can compete for them. Whatever their latest thing is, that, you know, if you take all of this at face value, they think that they have the group that can do that, and they want to hold on to it because really, you know, if I were to take their side, I'd look at it and go, okay, Willie's got a line now in Burroughs, Horvat, and Berchi that can score. Do they really want to break that up and trade Burroughs? Probably not. You know, and if you really are believing in what you say and that we're going to go for a playoff spot, I guess you got to keep the group together. So at least with the no trade thing, I think that you can make a logical case as to why, you know, you're not, like, why on face value you're not doing it. Like, I could make other suggestions, but on face value you could say, we believe that this group can compete for a playoff spot, so we're not trading any of these guys. The thing that doesn't make the most sense to me is, why 3 weeks ago was it, you know, we got to change the equilibrium here. We got to alter the balance. We have a lot on defense. We need more scoring. We're out there looking for a scorer. Why is that? It totally disappeared. That's the one that I can't find any kind of logic behind whatsoever.
Well, on the topic of logic then, and I'm with you. I mean, I was away, but I was following the hockey team. I see that Sven Berchi has sort of woken from his scoring slumber, as a lot of people figured he would. Eventually, pucks were going to go in for him. I think he went into the game last night having scored in three of the last four games. Alex Burroughs as well. They're down a goal in the third period. Burroughs plays less than a minute of the final 7 minutes. Berchi barely any more. Like, you've got two guys that represent an opportunity to score, and Jason Magna gets a minute and 8 second shift with 2 minutes left in the hockey game, and Eric Goodbranson is out there as the point man with the goalie pulled. Like, again, it comes back to deployment just on a nightly basis. There's so many things that don't add up.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, I don't, everyone's like, with Willie, you got to pick your spots. And and by the way, like, he pulled me aside the other day or yesterday, and like, I was down working, and so after we were done, and actually it wasn't yesterday, it was the day before when I was asking about Horvat, and then he came up to me, and again he said, like, you know, I just want you to know, like, you've really been asking good questions lately, and I didn't know what to say, and I was like, you know what, you've had some really good answers. And he goes, oh no, you know, I'm the same I've always been. And I go, no, you've really, like, I don't even know how to respond. I had no idea, like, what's the return to, you've been asking really good questions. I was totally in a super socially awkward spot. And the only thing I could come up with was, you've had some really good answers. So, look, everyone picks their battles with Willie, whatever. You can name a million things. You can name the way he structures the power play. You can name the way he plays the fourth line. You can name like how they play with a minute left when they're down a goal. And you can also pick out Sutter with the Twins. Like that, my hobby horse is Sutter with the Twins. I don't get it. I've never seen the Sedins get dominated like this in terms of even strength scoring against and possession. Like they never have the puck when they're playing with them. And I asked Daniel about it last night. He's like, man, I don't even think we had a scoring chance when we were playing with them tonight. And I expected, okay, like, this is it. Like, the Sutter Empire is dead. You know, long live Erickson with the Twins. Let's go. Like, I'll forget all of the negative things I said at the beginning of the season. I suggest all the fans do, too. Let's rally around Erickson with the Sedins, right? Like, this is our moment. And then I presented all of that in one of my, hopefully, you know, thinking, all right, he loves my questions. I'm going to get him with this Sutter, the end of the Sutter era. Here comes Erickson. And he shot me right down. He said, yeah, they scored this game. And they scored the last game when I put him together for a shift. But I like him to score. I don't really like him during the game. I'm going back to Sutter. And that's his plan. He's going to start the next game with Sutter. So with Willie, you can take your pick. I mean, you know, put all the pieces into a hat, pull out which one that you want to get worked up over. You definitely have a lot of choice. I'm staying laser-focused on Sutter with the Twins. I will not rest until that ends because it's killing me watching. Like, the Sedins are two of my favorite players, watching them play. They've brought me so much joy in hockey over the 10 years that I've been covering the Canucks. I cannot stand watching them go down like this.
I thought of you last night when they switched in the third period. I kind of figured there might be an air punch in the press box in New Jersey.
Air punch. Chug a Pepsi, like Stetcher. I'm going to get into Pepsi now. Stetcher drinks 10 Pepsis a day.
Come on.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, like, that is the guy, that's my mentor, man. Like, I want his intensity. I got to take his intensity to my job. I'm getting on the Pepsi train, man.
Come on, Roger Takahashi must have some sort of motivational quote about not drinking that much Pepsi.
I'm getting on the Pepsi train.
He can't drink 10 a day.
I don't. What do you? Like, why do you doubt me?
where to begin? that's right. I forgot. You're the guy that the coach he likes now. So. Yeah. No, pro athlete's not drinking 10 Pepsis a day.
The thing is, I don't think he doesn't like me. He goes like, I don't think he likes me because he says like, you're on the other side of what I'm trying to do all the time, but you do ask really good questions. Like he just, for whatever reason, I don't know what it is. I don't even ask good questions. My questions suck, but he connects with me. I don't know what it is. We connect. I don't know why.
All right. Well, we won't ask.
I really connect with Trampkin like that.
And that leads us to the photo of the week, without a doubt. And I want to get to that in a sec. But first things first, got to tell people about Eagle Ridge GM. They're huge hockey fans. They like hockey as much as you and I like hockey, Botch. Eagle Ridge's power play advantage. Everybody's a winner. Connect and win one of 17 vehicles or up to $17,000 cash credit. Go to EagleRidgeGM.com for full details. Now, I can't even remember what the original photo is now because I've seen so many doctored versions, and I made it clear on an earlier podcast, I'm not much of a Star Wars guy, but I couldn't get enough of R2-D2 in the Canucks locker room. Like, walk me back through how that happens. How does this robot, this droid, like, how does he show up in the room?
Oh, well, there's apparently there's an R2-D2, like, makers club, and there's, like, they have, you know, they're all over the world, the members, and they all make R2-D2s, and they get Lucas signs on with this club, and they do like exact replicas. There's 500 of them apparently in the world, and one of them was burning around the rink, and so when I think it was Jory saw, someone saw it, and they said like, you got to get that in the Canucks room. So this dude runs it with like a PS3 controller. And then he brought it right in the room, and I was, I had a great spot. Like, I was like, fuck, this is not the moment, because I had a, like, I was really in a good position. I was at Stetcher's locker there, and right beside Stetcher's locker is Trampkin. So I had worked myself into a prime spot at a prime moment to, like, make small talk with Trampkin, and then all of a sudden R2-D2 comes cruising in and takes everyone's attention. So So then, I'm thinking, well, then I start panicking. I also panicked about my questions, by the way, with Willie today. I have these long, rambling questions because he's in my head. I'm thinking, I've got to ask great questions. Like, he just told me to ask good ones. I've got to come up with a great one. So then I it's like run on sentences. I'm stepping over myself. I got totally lost in my questions today because of it. It was in my head. And then the R2-D2 thing gets in my head. And so Ben Brown and other, Canucks PR guys are talking to Trampkin about, has he seen Star Wars? And he's like, no, I've never seen these movies. And then I go at that point to R2-D2, and I go, but Nikita, look what you're missing. Look at this. And then he laughed at that. So I was like, damn, all right, I'm in with this guy. I've landed my first Trampkin joke, and I didn't have any idea how to back that up. So I thought, you know what? He laughed at what I said. I'm just going to cruise out of here on a high note and then hit him again in another time and hope he remembers. So that's how I left it with Trampkin.
You and Trampkin, then you should set it up. Go to the movies. Take him to his first Star Wars in the theater.
I'm just at a one sentence with him. One day I would like to go to the movies with him.
Well, but the
Miller is that dude lit up when he saw that, and he starts rhyming off I had this, I had that, I had Darth Vader's cape, I had Ewok Village, Millennium Falcons. I've never seen that kid must have had 30 all amazing Star Wars toys. My 8-year-old self was super jealous of 8-year-old Miller.
Well, and then it was pointed out at first, I was lost in so many different aspects of the original photo that I missed probably the most obvious one, and that was Miller trying to fist bump a droid that doesn't have arms.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what he was fist bumping. A fan, why would a huge, he's knowledgeable Star Wars guy throw out the knuckles to R2-D2? I don't know. I don't know what he was expecting in that moment. I definitely should ask him.
Well, I'm glad that you and Trampkin at least shared a moment, because that to me was, there's R2-D2 in an NHL dressing room. Right there, that, you're focused, you're just drawn to that. Then you got Miller, and then you were in the picture, but a lot of people didn't see Trampkin. And it's hard to miss the guy, but just the way the photo was taken, he was sort of blocked out by Miller and right. Somebody else. And so, but I was on to you. I knew that you were working to the back of the room there.
Well, and the empty, what you didn't know is the empty locker right behind me was Stetcher's. And my goal was, Stetcher would come off the ice, and then it would be me, Trampkin, and Stetcher, and then we'd get a three-way kind of conversation going about some topic. But that was all lost when R2 came in.
I missed the Toronto game. Well, I didn't miss it. I was able to find a stream of it. I watched it on my balcony in Mexico. You saw the photo. You used the photo.
You were naked, or some people said you were naked on a mountain or something?
No, I was on my balcony. I was on the balcony. But I was buying into the hype. This was the game of the year. I had to find an illegal stream in Mexico. I did. My wife was totally opposed. It was dinner time down there. And I was like, I'm going to watch this thing because it's been built up and body bags and Erica Branson's made promises. And didn't really look like I missed much.
I thought it was a great game. I'm shocked to hear you say that. I thought the Leafs played great. I thought it was as physical as the Canucks had been the entire season. Maybe it didn't show up on that little screen of yours, but I thought that was as intense. It looked to me like Game 8. It looked to me like bar down, Game 8, Boston Bruins. And I think that against the Devils last night, they were still hung over from that Leaf performance.
But Kadri survived.
He survived, but he got, Trampkin hit him. The Canucks are not a team. I don't know what people expect. They're not a team of bruisers that are going to go out and just hit anyone. I at least someone hit Kadri. You got to give him a check mark for that, right? Trampkin got him. I think that there's still going to be more battles to come with him and when the teams play in the future. But I think your expectations were too high from what the Canucks are right now, they don't really have a lot of physical guys that are going to make an impact, those kind of holy shit moments. And really, unfortunately, they need Jake Virtanen right now. Like, that's the guy that this team desperately needs. They need a guy who, when he goes on the ice, people are, like, checking over their shoulders. Like, what's happening? Where is he? And Jake should be that guy, actually, right now.
The game.
Another thing I was bringing up to Jim about, like, is I don't understand. Like, the way that Jake told it to me was that when he first got to Utica, they told him he was, like, 14 or 15 pounds too heavy to play in the NHL. Like, that's fine. He can get by in junior. But, you know, in the NHL, you're playing against better players. You're going to have to get that weight down. And he did. And I think he was at his lowest after that World Junior, and he was great after that. And then this summer, he put on, like, 15 pounds again. So I actually brought that up to Jim when we were talking about all that stuff yesterday. And I said, like, I don't, like, why did you guys tell him to cut the 15 pounds when he first, and he said, no, I never told him that. And then I said, well, what weight do you want him to play at? Like, and then he says, well, it doesn't matter. It's whatever weight he's comfortable with. I thought, man, like, I think he's, I said, I think he would be better if he was 14 pounds lighter. But I don't know. I didn't get anywhere with that.
They want him riding his bike in from Abbotsford every day.
Right.
I think that's the key to getting back from Utica. Ride your bike from Utica when you get the call, and that'll make a point to management.
Yeah, I mean, get on the stretcher program, drink Pepsi, puke a lot, and ride your bike.
The game that surprised me while I was away, and we don't have to go too deep here, was, but where we were 2 hours ahead. So I think we were on Central Time. And I stuck through, I didn't watch a stream of it, but I was just following on Twitter. It was the Minnesota game, and it was 2-2 after two. And everybody in the room was shutting it down for the night. And I thought, I don't need a third period of the Canucks in Minnesota. And then I wake up, and it's 5-4 in the morning, and the goals galore, and power plays, and Ben Hutton. And, like, where did the third period in that game come from?
That's peak Canucks. That's peak 2016-17 Canucks, what you saw there. And I think they're at their best, to me, when they lose their structure and they open it up. And it's going to be more apparent when Yannick Hansen gets healthy, and they could legitimately have three lines that can score. Like, Sutter has a great shot, and if he's playing with Erickson, that line can produce. Berchi, Horvat, Burrows has been probably their best line for 3 weeks pretty consistently. And everyone knows Hansen and the Sedins works. Like, they legitimately could have some threats offensively. There's no way a team constructed like that should be at the bottom of the NHL in goals. I don't think that they should be a low-event team. I don't think that they should be playing the Hitchcock style. I don't think that they should be shutting it down, kitty bar the door, playing the trap. I think that they're at their best against, as they were against Minnesota, when they open it up and they trade chances. I think it would I actually think Markstrom is probably the best goalie suited for that type of play, but I think either guy could do well with it. You should have pretty good goaltending. And now you've got, with Stetcher in the lineup and Hutton there, you know, there's some mobility there, and I don't know, man. Like, that is the game, that Minnesota game, that I would frame and hang up in the corridor of Rogers Arena and say, like, that's how we need to play.
What's the plan for the weekend? I remember last year you went down. I think you stayed with Luongo for like 3 days before the game Florida, and just wrote the book. Basically, are you going in? I mean, there's a day here. Do you get a chance to visit with Lou again?
I think that they're skating at 11. I'm going to try to make the skate on Friday. So, you got any questions for her? I got lots of good stuff on the Panthers. I'm going to have a good provies that night. I guess it's Saturday night. Lots of good takes on what happened with their coach, why it happened, what they're up to, and hopefully I'll fly in time on Friday morning and talk to Luongo. What would you ask? Like, Willie likes my questions. I like your questions. Well, what would you be asking Luongo?
Probably something about the beard. He's got the new look going for people that haven't seen him lately. I don't know. I thought I saw a picture. I watched some of the Boston game the other day, and maybe it was just the headshot they used then.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I got fooled by that. I noticed in overtime, though, did you see the Pastrnak goal that won it? It was sort of Luongo on his belly face forward, like a position that we've seen an awful lot over the years. He always seems to end up in that position. The Bruins were able to score the winner there. So no luck for him in Boston. That's not the first time that's happened. I don't know. I mean, I marvel at how well he's continuing to play at this advanced age. How many more years is he going to play? I mean, I don't know that he's got an answer for you, but, you know, I don't know. My mind still boggles when I think of the fact that you're going to see Schneider and Luongo on the same trip, and they were both here not that long ago.
Right, yeah. I didn't even really talk to Corey Schneider there this week. Don't you just check out when you go to Mexico? Like, you watch games and follow everything that's going on, eh? Like,
I was promised.
That's how I imagine his trips are, vacation.
I was promised the game of the year against the Leafs. I bought in for a month. I bought the hype.
So you're not buying me that was a great game. You know, you're not on board.
It may have had to do with the fact I watched it on a phone. I didn't get that sense all those miles away that it was. I mean, Miller looked good, obviously. I know the Leafs dominated third period in overtime, but right. I didn't get the sense. So
what about the Branson fight? That was incredible. You didn't like that?
I think I was at dinner then. I put the phone down for like 10 minutes and ate dinner. I missed the fight. I've seen the fight since, and it was all right. I mean, my days of getting geeked up over fights are sort of long gone now, so it didn't do a ton for me. And, you know, like, again, all this buildup, you knew it was going to happen at some point. It kind of seemed to me like a necessary evil. Like, they both knew that they had to do it. They were performers in a show. And so whether they actually were mad at each other or whether they were feeling it, you know, they kind of it was like their obligation to do what they did.
And what was your take on the Lars Hall hit? Like, what did you think about what Hall did?
I thought it was a good hockey hit that went sideways, and he didn't target his head. There may have been head contact. I thought the Kadri one was far more predatory, in a sense that he was trying to drive up and through Daniel's head. I just thought that was a hockey play that, you know, again, those things happen. I felt bad for Philip Larson. I know Taylor Hall did it, and he pointed it out. I didn't think about it in the moment, but, you know, they were teammates briefly in Edmonton. So, you know, this guy.
Yeah, but the whole way Hall saw that you can see that Hall sees Larson. He knows that Larson doesn't see him.
Yep.
So the route he took is an odd route that you don't normally take when you're forechecking.
I agree with all that. Willie kind of broke that down last night too. I agreed with it then. But, you know, these guys they're conditioned to finish checks. And so now you're asking guys to hold up on checks in certain situations. He's not trying to kill Philip Larson. He's trying to absolutely steamroll him, which he did. And then, you know, I hated the way Larson went down. I mean, he's out cold. He hits his head on the ice, all that kind of stuff. But to me, that's a hard hit that goes a little bit sideways. I didn't see it as a predatory hit. I didn't see him targeting the head, even though the head may have been contacted.
Yeah, like I don't have a good take either way. Like I'm really on the fence with this one, but man, like, it just seems to me that Hall, he just knew that Larson didn't see him. He definitely didn't have to drive. I mean, he did kind of pull up at the end, but he definitely could have pulled up more.
I suppose, but it's just, I mean, the game's moving so fast to get guys to process it that way, to when to pull up and when not. I mean,
they had processed a lot to see when Larson was not lying on the ice. They were able to like jump over him, maneuver around him.
Not very well.
Wow. Well, he didn't get hurt. He didn't get more hurt.
I know, but it's unbelievable that guys' skates are booting the guy in the head as they're, you know, he's lying there. Like, it's just such an unbelievable scene that happens. But it was Michael Chaput to the rescue. I think Chaput was the first guy in there, wasn't he?
And the other thing I need to ask you about is one of the big stories here. It kind of ties into the no trade clause bombshell in the Provies was this idea that Miller's going to come back, that they're gonna re-sign him. Are you not shocked by this? Like, this is not only possible; it seems like it could happen. I mean, I can't imagine. Maybe Anaheim, but how many suitors are there going to be for Miller?
Yeah, not many. And no, I mean, it surprised me that the timing surprised me more than anything. The timing of Jim's comments yesterday, the timing of Trevor saying that. you know, if Ryan Miller winds up back in Vancouver after, you know, they go through their due diligence and they figure out that he's their best short-term option, like, he'll be there in the offseason. And if he's not, if he gets a better offer somewhere else, so be it. You can go and find goaltending.
Don't you think that if he's their best short-term option, that he's chewing into Markstrom's development? Like, Markstrom's got to play.
I'm with
you. He's 27 soon.
I'm with you there. Oh. And yet, he's not playing very much. I know he played last night, but, you know, five-game road trip, I'd be shocked if he might get two.
Yeah, he'll get one more on the weekend.
So, yeah, I mean, they talk about getting younger, and then in the same breath, you're talking about bringing back a 36, soon-to-be 37-year-old goaltender who has been all right, but there's got to be another option out there, a stopgap guy that would allow Jacob Markstrom to start shouldering more of the load. So I'm a little surprised, and, you know, if they were to sign Miller ahead of the expansion draft, like, then you can only protect one goaltender. Like, could you imagine, like, there's no rush to do any of this. Like, if you wanted to bring Ryan Miller back, you know, if it gets to that in the summer.
To me, that suggests that they want, like, they can't sign him for that reason. So when they say, well, it's something, it's a decision we'll make after the year, to me, the suggestion is that they're leaning toward re-signing him.
Sure.
Oh, you agree?
I do. Well, I mean, I don't think you float it otherwise. Like, there's just no need to say it. This team has been pretty predictable. This management group, whenever they've kind of floated something, you know, a few months later, you track it back, and usually there's some breadcrumbs there. And so when I see that kind of stuff, I think, all right, this is a bit of a trial balloon, that's the direction they're leaning right now.
Can we draw similar conclusions with Burrows? If they're not going to go to Burrows and ask him to waive his no trade, does it not suggest that they'd be interested in re-signing Alex?
I can't wrap my head around that one, because just, like, for a second, work with me here. If you bring back Ryan Miller and Alex Burrows,
right,
like, this team, Botch, has won back-to-back games once in the last 20 games. Like, if they think this is competitive and they think this is good enough, then based on the comments in the Provies last night, no changes at the deadline, you're going to return the same team next year? That to me is just, my head explodes at that point.
Well, but plus Besser, maybe a Levy, and this top 10 pick that they're bringing in, you got to add those guys to the mix.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, let's see what they get in the draft. I mean, if they're not drafted in the top few, I'd be surprised if they're going to plug that guy right into the lineup. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But it just, again, this is, you talk about a youth movement, and then at the same time, you're talking about bringing back guys that are 35 going on 36 and 36 going on 37. Like, I don't get it. Like, the product on the ice right now, they're back to scoring no goals outside of that Minnesota game. They barely scored two a game right now in the last couple of weeks. So this team, they can talk about being competitive, but when you've won back-to-back games once in a two-month span, that to me isn't terribly competitive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty surprised. Like, the whole thing just seems super odd to me. Like, I don't understand why they wouldn't be trying to kind of collect some more assets. But man, they're committed to this playoff run.
Well, we'll see where that takes them, because, again, I mean, they get off this road trip, and then it's nothing but a steady diet of Western opponents, Pacific Division teams, pretty much the rest of the way. And
if we get into, like, the second week of February, and they're 10 points out of a playoff spot, and they're still holding to this, they're not asking any of the guys with no trades to waive, like, what's the reaction going to be like in Van?
Well, I think we've already seen what the reaction is now. I mean, I think it'll take another step or two, but there's empty seats. There's not much buzz in that building. There's not a whole lot of buzz on social media these days. Like, during the games right now, it's remarkable how quiet it is when the Canucks are playing. Like, there isn't a whole lot to chew on during the games. I mean, after the games, the Provies, you get the comments, you know, that gets people fired up again. But right now, around this group, like, there's a huge malaise. I mean, ownership has to see that. Management has to see that. You can't bring the same group back again next year.
Yeah. Interesting times.
Indeed. That's why it's a good thing that R2-D2 showed up. At least broke up the monotony for a night. All right, we'll leave her there. You get Tampa, and then the Florida game is at the end of the line for you on this trip?
Yeah. That'll be back, and we'll be doing the podcast together again.
We will indeed. I look forward to that. We'll wrap things up one more time to remind you the podcast A presentation of Eagle Ridge GM and Coquitlam, proud sponsors of community hockey. Eagle Ridge GM, your one-stop car and truck center where everybody is part of their hockey family. Check them out online, EagleRidgeGM.com. They're big supporters of ours. We ask that you support them, Eagle Ridge GM. All right, Botch, enjoy the rest of the road trip. We'll see you when you get back to town.